Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
A subject of great interest for every believer is the last days. And why is that? Because the end times speak of a transition out of this world and into the kingdom of God. And that should be our greatest desire. And when we look at the scripture that we're going to study today from Luke's gospel, Messiah warns us repeatedly that we are called to watch. Now I have a question. If he tells us to watch, that means there's something to see. And that is that there is prophetic indicators that let us know that our blessed hope, that is, the rapture is drawing near. Learn a very important principle from the scripture. And the scripture that I want you to mark down and remember, it is so important, and it's a verse of hope and one of encouragement, is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. Now, when I speak about the end times, that is a verse that I always emphasize. Why? Because it says there, for you, and he's speaking to believers, you have not been appointed for wrath, but for salvation. So we can be assured of something. We as believers, that means those who have accepted that gospel, who have trusted in the work of the cross, who are followers and disciples of Messiah Yeshua, that is Jesus Christ, we will never, ever experience the wrath of God. But that does not mean, as we're going to see in today's study, that does not mean that we will not be persecuted. In fact, we have seen over and over through the history of the congregation of redeemed, that is, the body of Messiah, the church, that those who walk faithfully in this world, they are rejected. We all remember how we should account ourselves as strangers and aliens to this world. Why? Because we are citizens of the kingdom. And because of that, the world is going to reject us. This world is a world of unrighteousness. And there's coming a leader. He is called the man of lawlessness. He is against the commandments of God. And the commandments of God do not make us righteous, but they define what is righteous to God and what is unrighteous. And therefore, he is against the law of God. He is the man of unrighteousness. And that's where this world is heading. And therefore, as we get closer and closer to the end times, you can anticipate there being more and more persecution of true believers. So we will suffer, but here's the key. We will never suffer any of the wrath of God. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 8. Now, do you remember how I began this message? I said that in the scripture, in regard to the last days, we are told not just by Messiah, but also by Paul and also Peter and others, that we are called to watch. And that is a word to be perceptive and being able to discern these last day signs. And those who teach that our blessed hope, the rapture, might happen and happen unexpectedly, this is not what we see in the scripture. Now, it is true that no man knows the day or the hour. In fact, the scripture says that this wonderful event, when God is going to remove his people from this earth, it will come at a time we do not expect. That's true. But what we need to see is that there are signs, and Messiah is going to reveal what those are. We need to learn. He's going to reveal them so that we can be ready, that we can know that the time is drawing near, and therefore we will be found faithful. That should be the desire of every believer. So look again to this section, Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, beginning in verse 8, where he says, "But he said," and the one who is speaking, of course, is Yeshua, our Messiah, "but he said, watch out." Now, that word for watch out, as I said, it's a word of perceiving. It means that you're looking, but here's an important aspect of this word. You look, but you see things that gives you understanding. And this is going to be supported in a few minutes. So he says, "But he says, watch out, let no one deceive you." And this is another very important part of the last days. In the last days, there is going to be a spirit of deception that is going to fill this world. So if you don't know prophecy, if you don't know the teachings of the apostles, you are going to be deceived. And we have a commandment here, don't let anyone deceive you. And he's going to reveal things that are going to happen and things that believers will see, things that precede the wrath of God. That's what we're promised never to experience, any of God's wrath. But we have seen throughout the history of the congregation of redeemed, the church, that believers suffer for their faith. In fact, we should expect to suffer in this world for our faith, and Messiah is going to emphasize that as he speaks of the last days. So again, let no one deceive you, for many will come, and what it says literally, upon my name. What does that mean? Upon my name. Well, they are going to be individuals. They're false teachers. They belong to false prophets. And what it says here is that they're going to agree in this name of Yeshua. They're going to say that he is indeed the Messiah. And it even goes further than that, saying that I am. Now, that expression, I am, also speaks from a new covenant perspective. It speaks of the divinity of Messiah. So there's going to be false teachers, false prophets in the last days, and they're going to say that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah. In fact, they're going to go on and say he is God. So all of this is well and good, but the problem is that they want to deceive you. And one of their tricks is to say, we also believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. We also believe that he is the Son of God, fully God. But make no mistake about them, they are false teachers. Now, read on. They also are saying at the end of verse 8, also the season or the time is near, has drawn near. So they are saying in an incorrect way that the time for the establishment of the kingdom is at hand. Messiah is coming, and it's not speaking here about his second coming, but for believers, the rapture is at hand. But notice what he also says at the end of this verse. Therefore, do not go after them. Don't be led by them. Don't follow their instructions. Why? Because they're deceivers. They are not true believers. As we learn from 1 John, there are going to be those who go out from the body of believers. Why? To make evident to us that they were never believers. As John says in 1 John, had they been of us, meaning true believers, they would not depart from us. So they're going to go out and believe and be part of this deceit, this delusion that is going to fill the world. And only if you know biblical truth will you be able to act faithfully and be found faithfully and be pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Now let's look at the next verse, verse 9. Whenever you hear of war, and this next word is very important, it's a word which means disturbances, upheavals, things that relate to chaos. And as we approach the last days, there are going to be great disturbances in this world. And we're going to talk about some of them right now, where the scripture says there's going to be wars and upheavals. But what does it tell us? Do not fear, for these things are necessary to happen first. Notice that, first. Now, I would say to you that it's very dangerous just to accept what someone says or what I say to you. You need to study and show yourselves approved. You need to take the initiative and look at biblical truth concerning the last days so that you're not deceived, that you understand what God's going to do, and that you, God willing, will be found faithful, doing what He would have you to do, and understanding the key thoughts that are recorded in the teachings of Messiah and the Apostle Paul and Peter as well. And what we see here from Messiah's own words, he says, for these things must come first. And that word for must is a very strong biblical word. It means something that is absolutely necessary, something that must take place. And these things are what we're talking about, wars and these upheavals. He then goes on to say, but, and this is so significant, but not immediately the end. Now, what end is he speaking of? Well, he's talking about the end of the church age. Do not think that the end comes immediately. No, he's going to reveal to us some things that the body of believers, true disciples of Messiah, are going to witness with their eyes and that they're going to experience for themselves. Look now to the next verse, verse 10. Then he was saying to them, here's some additional things we're going to see. Nation will rise up against nation. Now, I would encourage you to pay close attention to that word translated nation. I would suggest to you that if we look at that word in and of itself, it can mean a nation or a people, but it's best understood as an ethnic group. And what we're going to see in the last days is that there's going to be ethnic conflict, meaning this, not just wars, not just nations rising against nations, but what it's telling us here is that there is going to be one ethnic group rising up against another. So we're going to see, we might say, an increase in racism in the last days. Likewise, he says there's going to be other things. Keep reading. Kingdom against kingdom. So also a kingdom, and here this is better understood as a country, as a nation, rising up. So we have ethnic violence, one ethnic group against another, and there's going to be happening this ethnic conflict around the world, and there's also going to be wars where kingdom or nation will rise against nation as well. And he tells us, as we keep reading, look now to verse 11. Also, great earthquakes in various places, not just earthquakes, but also famines and pestilence. Now, if you look in Matthew's parallel passage, and I'm speaking about the Olivet Discourse, that's what we're studying, and the parallel passage is Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and of course, where we are in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Now, in the Textus Receptus, it's identical. It speaks about wars and ethnic conflict and disturbances, upheavals, as well as famines. But in Matthew's gospel, we find that in most Bibles that follow not the Textus Receptus, but Nestle Allen, a different Greek New Testament, they leave this word out. Now, there's probably a reason for that, and it's just a human error. Because when we look at the word for famine, it's the word limoi. And when we look at the word for pestilence, it is the Greek word loimoi. So it's very, very similar, the two. And it's reasonable to believe that one was left off in one manuscript tradition. But when we look at it here in Luke's gospel, we see both are mentioned, that there'll be famines and there's going to be pestilence, and both are in the plural. And what does he tell us? Over and over, we see something. He says, do not be afraid. Don't be fearful. Why? Because God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And we, as believers, we have a great counselor, a wonderful counselor, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Isn't that what the Bible says? With God, and certainly the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, with God, all things are possible. And God is going to be moving in our life despite the difficulties that we are going to face. So he says here, do not fear, and there will be great signs of the heavens. And what else? He says, verse 12, but before these things, before all of these things, what will happen? Very important. And people don't talk about this. They want to say that these are tribulational saints, but that's not what we see in the scripture. It says, before all these things, I'm reading in verse 12, they will cast their hands upon you. For what purpose? And they will persecute, and they will deliver you into synagogues and prisons. Now, we need to understand what it means here, synagogue. We hear that today and we think of a Jewish house of worship. But that's not at all how they would have understood this term going back to the time of this first century. Because a synagogue is not even a Hebrew word, it is a Greek word. And it means to come together, to assemble, a house of assembly. And more often than not, a Greek synagogue, that word was used not as a place of worship, but as an administrative building, as a community center that was used for multiple purposes, and one of which was government administration. So what it's saying here is this. It's speaking a language, the Greek language, where this word synagogue, now it's true, with the Greek Empire ruling over Israel, these synagogues, these administrative centers, were used by religious Jewish people for worship. But in the first century, more and more we see that in this context, it's talking about the traditional use, not the colloquium, which is a Jewish house of worship. It's talking about the traditional use of this word in the Greek Empire, and that was an administrative building, and that's why it's parallel with prisons. So they will deliver you over to synagogues, administrative buildings, and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers. Why? On account of my name. And I would underscore that. That should be emphasized. All the reason why we are suffering is because of his name. And don't you see today, there's growing a more of a disdain and a contempt for that wonderful name of the Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. And a few months ago, when the Olympics were taking place, we saw how the Olympics mocked the Lord's Supper. The time when he was teaching the disciples what he was going to do, how he was going to lay down his life, how he was going to manifest his love. And we see this mockery. Well, this is what's going to happen more and more. That if you're faithful, that you are obedient to Scripture, you are going to be rejected. You will be mocked. And as it says here, they will persecute and they will deliver you over to synagogues, administrative buildings, and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and rulers on account of my name. And again, look now to verse 13 where he says, but this will serve, the result of all of this will be for you for a witness. We'll have an opportunity to witness, to bear witness concerning our Lord and Savior. Verse 14, therefore he says, do not set your hearts, a very Hebraic expression. Do not set your hearts, nor prepare beforehand a defense. So we don't need to meditate and plan. What should we say? In fact, we're commanded not to do that. Look carefully at that scripture. It says here, therefore, do not set your hearts on preparing a defense, for I will give to you a mouth and wisdom. And notice how wonderful God is. I will give to you a mouth and wisdom, which they will not be able to resist, nor all those that are against you, that they will be able to stand in opposition to you. So we are going to get given to us supernatural wisdom. God is going to give us a mouth that will speak in a way that those who hear are defense, not a premeditated defense, but what God gives us at that moment. They will not be able to resist these words. And all those who are opposed to us, they will not be able to answer something against us. That's how good God is. Now, this is referring to who? Disciples, true disciples. This is going to happen, and we'll show this later on. This is going to happen before the rapture takes place. So we're seeing today an increase in persecution of believers throughout the world. It's increasing in more and more countries, and it's only going to get worse. I guarantee it, because that's what the scripture says. And if we keep reading, look now to verse 16. But it says here, they will deliver. Who's going to deliver you? You will be delivered by parents and siblings and relatives and friends. Notice that. Now, again, this is not some tribulational group. In fact, I would suggest to you that the tribulation has not began when this is going to happen. These are, as we learn from Matthew's gospel, the beginning of the birth pains. This sets the stage for Daniel's 70th week. And what we see here, when we look at it, it says clearly, for, look at verse 16, but you will be delivered also by parents and siblings and relatives and friends, and what else? And they will put to death from you, meaning some of you will even be put to death. Now, what it's saying is this: there's a time coming when being a believer could cost you your life. Well, understand something. That has happened in the past. There has been numerous periods of time in church history where people have been put to death for their faith. And don't think it won't happen again. So he says, and they will put some from you to death. Verse 17. And you will be hated by all the world. You will be hated by all on account of my name. Here again, what we see in all too often, people talk about this last day revival. I don't know where that's seen in the scripture. Prove me that I'm wrong. But where is this massive last day revival that happens after the rapture? I don't know the scripture that says that. And people always say, oh, this is the outcome of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Where's the biblical verse? that tells us that these 144,000 Jewish individuals are evangelists. I don't see that in the scripture at all. So we need to be biblical rather than just hearing things and repeating them and believing them. We need to study to show ourselves approved. So he says, you will be hated by all on account of my name. But there's a good message here. Look at verse 18 where it says, and a hair from your head will not perish. Now verse 19. Very important what he speaks about here. He says, in your perseverance. Now, one of the things that I would say to you is when you look at the end times and also in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 and many other places where Peter and Paul write about the last days, we are called to persevere. We're called to endure. We're called to be overcomers. Why? Because there's things that we are called to overcome. There's things that we have to endure. We are called to persevere. So he says, look at this verse, verse 19. In your perseverance, you will possess or acquire your souls. What does that mean? It means that going through these difficult times are going to have a positive effect upon you spiritually. That you are going to grow and mature your soul, your spiritual condition. Why? Because God wants us to be a testifier of truth. And that involves, as we get closer and closer to the last days, that involves being willing to suffer for your faith, overcome persecution, endure difficult times. Why? Because we know something. We have a wonderful eternity. And that eternity, this transition out of this world into the kingdom of God, is going to be a difficult one for the church and also for Israel. But God is going to show himself faithful, and God will give us the strength and the power and the wisdom and then the mouth in order that we testify properly in word and also in deed. That people will see our commitment to our Lord and Savior. Very important truth in order to encourage us and inform us concerning what's going to happen in the last days. And again, I would say this to you. We need to take these words seriously in order that we know what's going to happen so that we are found faithful. That should be the desire of every true believer.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.